Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
Rome, Georgia, Athens, Texas, and Paris, Tennessee. Hey, everybody, this is Patrick Foster, and this is Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our podcast. I want to thank you all very much for listening. If you're a casual listener or you listen every day, we appreciate it very, very much. Today, I am going to start a little series of putting songs into the Perfect Pop Hall of Fame, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, my impetus, my reasoning, in just a second. But before I do, there's a little bit of business to cover. And the first piece of business is for all you new music contributors. There will be November new music, and it will start on the 15th of December. That is correct. So if you're listening to this episode on the day it is released on December 8th, it is 1 week from today where we will begin November new music. So your deadline will be the 14th of December. That is the deadline, 14th of December, for November new music. Thank you if you've already submitted or in the process of doing so. We very much appreciate it. Greatly appreciate all of our regular contributors to that series. And, of course, anybody who has contributed at any point during the year, we appreciate it very much. Now, also, the year is coming to a close. We've only got about 4 weeks left. You've got about 3 weeks left for your Christmas shopping, so get on that if you haven't already, like myself. And it's time to think about album and song of 2025. Now, we may have a little bit of a new wrinkle in this year. One of our listeners, who happens to be a regular contributor to Monthly New Music, came up with a very good suggestion, and we may record a little episode once we get all the pieces aligned to discuss a slight new wrinkle in the year in picks. But we will give you more information on that in the next couple weeks. But begin compiling, begin getting ready. You know, we dedicate the month of January to year in picks. So we want you to start thinking about that as well. So if you haven't already compiled your list for year-end picks, start giving that some thought while you're wrapping your holiday gifts. And speaking of holiday gifts, on sale right now is the Rockin' the Suburbs, Rockin' the Holidays 7-inch record. That's right. You just go to suburbspod.com. You'll see a little banner on the right. Get your holiday record. Click on that, and you can order it up. It's got four tracks. $10 plus $5 shipping per order, up to six records. We'd love to have you to do that. There's a beautiful unboxing video. You can see the whole thing. Only 200 copies, and they're going like hotcakes. So you want to get yours before they're gone. We spent some time recently packing them all up, stamping them all individually. They're all individually hand-stamped and numbered. It's a unique creation. So make sure you get yours. Just go to suburbspod.com to do that. All right, with that business out of the way, let's go through a little Perfect Pop. And I was looking at the list of Perfect Pop songs, and it's about 200-ish, maybe a little more, a little less, I'm not sure. But it's in that range. And I was looking through it and noticing there isn't a ton of country music on the Perfect Pop list. And I know we have a lot of country music fans in our listening audience. I'm a country music fan myself, and I thought, well, maybe if I pick a few country songs and put them in the Perfect Pop pantheon, that might inspire others to do the same, because I definitely think it's a genre that should be represented on there. So, with that said, I am going to pick a song to put in today, and tomorrow, and the day after that. I'm going to pick three songs, and maybe that'll get people going for some country music. Or if not, it's fine too. We'll have three songs in the Perfect Pop of Hall of Fame that are country music. Anyway, I'll stop talking and start talking about this song I want to pick. And the song is by George Jones and Tammy Wynette, and it's called We're Not the Jet Set. It was recorded for the 1973 LP We're Gonna Hold On, and it was written by the Nashville songwriter Bobby Braddock, country songwriter. He also wrote the song D-I-V-O-R-C-E for Tammy Wynette, among others. He authored 22 top 10 country hits. So the man is a craftsman for sure. And let me read a little piece I found on the Source of All Human Knowledge about the atmosphere that was going on when George and Tammy recorded this song. If you know the record, there's a picture on the front, sort of George superimposed on Tammy, two unsmiling faces, profile shots, and they're sort of looking off into the distance, pondering something. Let me read this to you. Quote, after recording three duet albums together, country music's first couple finally scored a number one smash with the title track to their album We're Gonna Hold On, a song Jones wrote with Earl Montgomery. The song's theme was the perseverance of love in the face of hardship, something that Jones and Wynette knew about all too well. As Bob Allen recounts in his book, George Jones, The Life and Times of a Honky Tonk Legend, quote, outside of a close circle of friends and business associates, few people realized the abject emotional squalor into which their marriage had sunk. The world at large was still deeply infatuated with their fame, their mansions and their expensive clothes and cars. And to fans, their marriage was still a precious thing indeed. Joan Dew, the co-author of Wynette's autobiography, Stand By Your Man, speculated to Nick Toshies in 1994 that Tammy was not only distraught by George's drinking, but jaded by the marriage as well. Quote, I think she got really bored with him very quick down there. George is nothing but a little fuddy-duddy. He sits around and watches TV all day and goes fishing. George is only exciting when he's on stage. In the BBC documentary, Tammy Wynette, Till I Can Make It On My Own, Wynette's future husband George Ritchie recalled, quote, the writers who wrote for her, and there were about four of us who wrote regularly, would sort of write what was happening that day. And if she and Jones were having a tough time, that's what we wrote about. As their marriage became more turbulent, their audience's fascination only increased. And as I said, that title song was a number one hit in October of 1973. It was released before the album. It was the single. But on there, We're Not the Jet Set was a hit that was released as a single in 1974, the next year, after the album had been out a while. And it did pretty well. It got to number 15 on the country charts. And this song is amazing. I mean, it's funny. It's sly. You know, the use of rhyming on this song is right up there in some of the cleverest you'll hear. And of course, the mention of the famous cities of Rome, Athens, and Paris, the classical cities, are amazing, because it's Rome, Georgia, Athens, Texas, and Paris, Tennessee. I absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic. I'm inducting it into the Perfect Pop Hall of Fame in Rock in the Suburbs land. And let's hear a little bit of George Jones and Tammy Wynette now doing We're Not the Jet Set.
By a fountain back in Rome, I fell in love with you. In a small cafe in Athens, you said you loved me too.
And it was April in Paris when I first held you close to me.
Rome, Georgia,
Athens, Texas,
and Paris, Tennessee.
No, we're not the jet set. We're the old Chevrolet set. There's no Riviera in Festus, Missouri. And you won't find no Rasses in Mullinville. Chevrolet said, but ain't we got love?
All right, there you have it, folks. In my mind, a country classic. You can't get much better than that. And of course, the singing that they do is absolutely first class. I mean, the way they slyly put these rhymes together and sing next to each other in such a fun and lighthearted way, and it makes the song so relatable. And as the piece I read there was saying, you know, George and Tammy had this facade, essentially, this image, this public image, and, you know, this really fit in with it super well because it was so relatable to their fans who were blue-collar, everyday people, and made them seem so relatable. And I just think it's just a wonderful piece of songwriting and a wonderful piece of singing. And of course, the accompaniment is first class. So there you go. We're Not the Jet Set in the Perfect Pop Hall of Fame. Now, I want to play out with a cover of this. And I think, man, this cover is really, really good. I mean, I almost considered putting the cover in ahead of the original, but in the end, after listening to them both, I decided to go with Tammy and George. But this one could make it too. And this is two incredible singers as well. It's John Prine and Iris Dement doing a cover of We're Not the Jet Set. And at one point, they change it to We're the Prine and Dement Set, of course, to do their own version. So we'll play out with that and enjoy the wonderful song, We're Not the Jet Set, say, how about some country music in the Perfect Pop Pantheon? We can do that. With that, I'll be back with another Perfect Pop Country pick tomorrow, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
No, we're not the Jet Set. We're the old Chevrolet Set. There's no Riviera in Festus, Missouri. And you won't find Onassis in Merlinville, Kansas. No, we're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet Set. But ain't we got love? No, we're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet Set. Our steak and martinis is draft beer with weenies. Our Bach and Tchaikovsky is haggard and husky. No, we're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet Set. But ain't we got love? No, we're not the Jet Set. We're the old Chevrolet Set. The Prine and Dement Set. Ain't the Flamin' Suzette Set. Our Bach and Tchaikovsky is haggard and husky. No, we're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet Set, but ain't we got love?
George is nothing but a little fuddy-duddy.